Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is He who made us. And we are His, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Good morning, church. We're going to start with a song, and it's one that hopefully lots of us know. It is the well-known song, Be Thou My Vision. So hopefully, let's give it some gusto.
See me anyway and see Rich, that's really good. It's great to have you here and a huge welcome to you. If this is your first Sunday coming live with us here at Emmanuel, it's brilliant to have you on board. And if you're listening on the phone too, thanks for joining us, it's great. So let's commit our time to God. In one sense, we've already done it in our thinking with that Psalm 100 and that song which Rich has just led us in. So let's pray. So Lord, as Psalm 100 says, we come to you now to praise and to worship you, Lord, this morning. We come before you and we enter this time with thanksgiving in our hearts for this new day. Thank you, Lord, for the breath in our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity which is ahead of us. And for it, we thank you for all that you've made. Thank you for this lovely, beautiful, sunny day, which we have here at the moment. Lord, thank you for all that you've made. And that we are yours, and we have that relationship with you. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you've done. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. And Lord, we want to give you this time, this day, and may it all be to your glory, because we ask it in and through your lovely name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah, you are there. Okay. Okay, a few announcements, few notices, if I could, just to remind you of about a few things. There's not, again, a lot of things going on. We're still in lockdown, we've still got restrictions, although there obviously things are changing a bit, which is really good. But if you want to join us for our Zoom prayer time on Wednesday at 7, then just register that. And if you're not got the connection, the Zoom link, then do let us know that. You could leave a message even this morning or on the comments. And of course, we continue to be open this week for personal prayer. Over three sessions, we've got Monday evening, we've got Wednesday morning, Monday evening from 6 till 8, and then Wednesday morning from 10 till 12, and then on Friday afternoon from 2 until 4. So if you would like to have a bit of personal space and prayer, then do come and join us for those. On Tuesday, just one thing to remember. Yeah, we haven't got the personal prayer this Monday. I just remembered, because on Tuesday we have the Thanksgiving service for our friend Michael Jennings Thorpe. Please remember that Dorothy and the family, if you would, as that takes place on Tuesday. And just a reminder as well, you can't just turn up, I'm afraid. This is a sort of a private event. Because of the restrictions with COVID-19, I'm afraid. But please pray for that. That would be really good. And of course, straight after the service today, if you'd like to join us for coffee, then you can. If you've got that link, and if you haven't, then please remind us, put it in the notes here, and we'll get you to connect with us. But it's really great to have you. And if there are any questions which come up even throughout our time, even today, then just you could pop it in the comments, or you could email us or leave a note for us. That would be really good. So it's really good. Anyway, I'm going to hand back to Rich, who's now going to lead us in a kids' spot and other things. So, Rich.
Hello everybody, it's that interesting point in the service. I've just seen one of the comments from my friend Leo, who says that he really likes my cool hair today. So thank you, Leo. I almost lost it when I read that. This isn't anything I've done, it's just I haven't cut it, which is where a lot of us are at the moment. I'm looking forward to going to the barbers and being sheared. I'm looking a bit woolly. But today I want to talk to you about a verse from the Bible. Now, some Bible verses are really easy to understand. When Jesus said, I want you to love your enemies and pray for people who persecute you, it's easy to understand what that means, even if it's hard to do it. But some of the things Jesus said can look a little bit tricky. And I just want to show you a particular verse, and it says this. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. So if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus, you'll save it. And that's a really hard thing to understand. And the easiest way I can think of to understand what this verse means is to think about crabs. Now, it's lovely living in Swanage, but I've been doing things on lockdown that I haven't done the whole 6 years I've been here. And this week I decided to take Max and Alfred, my two boys, crabbing for the first time ever, which was really, really good fun. And we managed to catch two, which was really, really good. And I just want to show you a little video about how we did it and what we used. And then I'm going to talk about how crabs can help us understand Jesus.
Hello. doing?
We're catching a crab.
Now how are we going to catch them?
With a fishing rod.
And why are they going to come and get in our net?
They will smell the bait. I don't even pull it off. Water mice is stuck.
Whose crab's the biggest, Alfred?
My crab.
Who's got the biggest claws? And have they been friendly crabs or have they not been friendly crabs?
Not really.
Should we let them go?
Yeah.
Alfred, look at your crab. Should we say goodbye?
Bye. That's my crab.
I've lost them.
So there we go. We went crabbing, and there is nothing better than when you go crabbing and you actually catch something. It's pretty rubbish when you go and sit by the sea for a couple of hours and don't get anything. But how do crabs help us understand what Jesus says when he says, if we try to save our life, we'll lose it, but if we give our life up for him, we'll save it? Well, crabbing's a lot of great fun, and as you can see there, we were using some nets. And as Alfred said, the crabs could smell the bait and they come waddling up and they want to eat it, and then you catch them in the net. And the bait we were using was some gone-off bacon I'd found in the back of a fridge. So that was nice and stinky, and the crabs could smell it under the water, and they come scuttling along, and it's in a little bag and they grab onto it and then you hoik them up. Now, we were doing it the easy way. There was a bit of a net which caught them as well. But when my dad used to take me crabbing, we'd go down to a fishmonger's. We wouldn't buy bait because my dad's Scottish. We'd go down to a fishmonger's and he'd say, have you got any fish heads that we could take? And the guy would give us a couple of mackerel heads, all severed with blood in the eyes and everything. And he'd put a big hook through it and he'd drop that in the water. And when we went crabbing, instead of a net, he used to pull up the rope. And on the end of the rope was this manky fish head. And hanging onto that would be a crab. And I always used to think, these crabs are so dopey. All the crabs have to do to save their life is let go. All the crab has to do, if you've got the bait in the bag or the bait on the end of a hook, all they have to do to save their life and to be free is to just let go with their pincers and drop back into the water. And then they're fine. But the crabs are so desperate to save their life or to fill their bellies with food, but they're there hanging on, hanging on, hanging on, and you can pull them all the way up through the water, all the way up through the air, and even up into your hands and catch them and pull them off, because they're trying so hard to hold on to something which they think is really good. They don't realise that their food is a bait and it's a trap. Jesus says if we try and hold on to our own life so hard like a crab, holding on to things that we think are important, or trying to be in control so much that we're like that crab on a string and we're being pulled along and we're trapped. And Jesus says that actually, if we let go of what we want, if we let go of what we want and say to Jesus, I want you to be in charge, then actually we save our life forever. And it's a good life spent with him. So let's look at that verse again. Jesus says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. So Jesus wants us to not be like a silly crab hanging on to things which aren't really good for us. Not desperately pinching and trying to be in control of everything we want to do. He wants us to let him take his place as the king of our hearts. We're going to sing a song which speaks about the ocean. It's Who's the King of the Jungle? Ooh, ooh. Who's the King of the Sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble. Or maybe you could run around like a crab. Who's the King of the Universe and Who's the King of Me? I'll tell you, Jesus is He's the King of Me. He's the King of the Universe, the Jungle and the Sea. We're going to sing this song and then Mark's going to come and lead us in a prayer. So here we go. We'll start off slow. Okay. Who's the king of the jungle? Ooh, ooh. Who's the king of the sea? Bubble, bubble, bubble. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I'll tell you, Jesus is. He's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. Bubble, 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 ooh, ooh. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I'll tell you, Jesus is. He's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. Bubble, 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 ooh, ooh. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I'll tell you, Jesus is. He's the king of me. He's the king of the universe, the jungle and the sea. Bubble, 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 ooh, ooh. Over to you, Mark. Let me just change the camera. Where is it? Ah, there we go.
Caught me out there. I was ready for another verse. Okay, I think that's a great verse, isn't it? And it prompts us to think about our world and the way in lots of times people don't want to let go of their life because it just makes it all more difficult. And if you look around our world, there's a lot of things going on in our world which we need to bring to God. So let's just take a moment in silence to start with, but then I'll lead us in a short prayer. So let's pray. Let's think about the things going on in our world. Obviously, there's all the virus stuff. There's also lots of other people who are struggling with all sorts of things at the moment. There's people who are struggling, having lost loved ones who've died because of the virus. There's all sorts of difficulties going on around our world because of the virus. People have lost their jobs. There's lots of struggles and difficulties. Lord Jesus, we know that for lots of people, the way you have taught us how to live just seems so backwards. Just like those crabs who want to just hold on when actually they can escape if they let go. That's, as we've been thinking about, that's what you want. You want us to let go of our way of being, of our sort of selfishness and the wrong things in us, so that we might live for you, that we might have life as you designed it to live. So Lord, we commit our world where we see lots of people trying to hang on to their own ways, to living life in their way, and yet we know that that is not going to solve a lot of the issues. It's going to make things worse. So Lord Jesus, we pray for our world in its vastness, in the millions of people there are. And we just want to pray, Jesus, that they would understand how important you are in our lives. Help us to be an example. Help us to let go so that your life can be in us. And help us to share you with others. Help us to show people that they can find life in its fullness if they would only follow you. So Lord, we pray for all these massive things which are going on in our world. And we pray, Lord God, that you would, in your grace, in your mercy, you would come and touch them, you'd show them something of your love, and that they would find that true fullness of life by trusting you. Help us to let go and let you have your way. And let God. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that when we pray, you hear our prayers. Bless each and every one of us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Rich, thank you.
We're going to have a bit of an extended time of worship now, where we're going to sing some songs, preparing us to listen to God, but also to tell him how much we love him. There's one that you might not know as a regular EBC-er, and when we get to that one, if you just want to listen to the words, that's absolutely fine. If you want to try and sing along at home, then I encourage you to join in when you feel you can. But we're going to start off just singing about how good our God is. Sing that again, now I've got the key.
Oh, how he loves us.
God, thank you that you have shown your love to us through Jesus Christ, who left the adoration of angels and the perfection of heaven to be born as a helpless baby, dependent on a mum and a stepdad. Jesus, thank you that as you grew, you listened to your Father. You never strayed. Not only did you show us and teach us about the kingdom of heaven, but you gave up your life for us on that cross so that we could be free. So that we wouldn't have to hang on to things that don't matter. So that we could be yours and part of your family. Thank you for your great love. Amen. Today.
answer it. Okay. Right. Okay. Thank you for that. That was really good. Now, I took a few days off last week or a week or so ago, and one of my activities was this, to go take a trip to the tip, as you do when you have a break. But what's interesting is that I took... Oh, I'm trying to get the... it's not working, this thing. There we go, hang on. We'll get there in the end. Come on. Here we go, it's started. That's it, we're there. Oh, it's not coming live though. We're not connecting here. Sorry, Rich. Technology. And it's even worse when you're live, you know, because you can't do it. But that's me all over, isn't it? You know me and technology, but that's the way things are. But as I went to the tip, I took certain items. And the first one was a rusty old barbecue that was falling apart. There were several old pairs of trainers. There was a pair of old jeans that were well worn and had holes in very wrong places, definitely the wrong places. I took some old smoke alarms, as you can see, that couldn't have the battery replaced. And you know, Jen and I are so grateful that the beeping, the incessant beeping and chirping, is now finished. I also took a big bag of garden rubbish and all the dead branches and hedge cuttings and plant cuttings that, of course, we'd gathered because they were no longer alive and they were no longer fruitful. So all these things, when you think about what I took to the tip, needed to be ditched because they were finished with. They were now rubbish and they were actually in the way. They were cluttering the shed, they were cluttering the back garden, so I needed to do something. They needed throwing out to make way for the new. And that's really important. But I tell you, there was definitely one sense where it was, I really enjoyed this bit. And there was no way I didn't video it when it happened. But I threw my barbecue. I took hold of it and I flung it into the skip. Because I knew that I had a nice, new, shiny one coming because it was my birthday coming up. And so it was going to be a much, much better one. And I tell you, I have to say, it's not far off that this picture. This isn't it. But it's so much more efficient. I've actually used my new one already. But it's nice and clean and shiny. It's not rusty. The leg's not falling off. The door's not dropped off. In fact, like all those other items, in fact, I ditched. They've been replaced by new ones. And things which now fit when, you know, like a pair of jeans, they fit properly. Although when Rich saw that picture of my jeans, he said, oh, they're just wearing in now because they've got a big rip in them and stuff. Well, generational differences, of course. They have to cut the trees and stuff back because they need the opportunity to grow for new growth and all those sorts of things as well. So these things, and even the replaced smoke alarms, fantastic, work now properly. And we're not getting this beeping. And you know, as I thought about all these things, I tell you, one of the things which it reminded me that it's good to go to the tip sometimes. And God spoke to me and he said, you know, he reminded of what he'd done for me and how he made a way for the old to go and the new to come. And that which I was doing in slinging the old stuff was a picture of what we all, as his people, I believe, need to do from time to time. We all need a trip to the tip. Now, I don't know about you, but another one of my weaknesses is that I tend to be a bit of a hoarder. I seem to collect stuff. And some stuff needs to go to the tip. But what I do, I strip it all down, you see, and I save all the different bits just in case there's something I can use the bits for. And that has paid off in many a time. And I have been able to use some of those parts. But, do you know, other times it just hangs around and it just sits there. And all it does is clutter. It just becomes in the way. But, you know, when it comes to spiritual things, the things of God, we mustn't hang on to the past. Onto the old stuff, onto the old way of life which we used to live. Because it, all it does is get in the way of the new stuff. The new life which God has given to us in Jesus. And all the new, fresh opportunities and the possibilities which lie ahead of us. If we stay stationary and we think and we keep holding on to the past, we will never move into the future. Not fully. And, you know, the Bible teaches us about trips to the tip, believe it or not, in a spiritual sense. Firstly, in his letter to the people in Philippi, to the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the things that used to be of value to him before he became a Christian, before he met with Jesus. Things that, in one sense, the world puts a lot of credibility and value upon. Things like positions of power and influence, and or the role which you have in life. We strive for these things. Or perhaps it's your education or your background so that you get recognised or accepted by others. This is what Paul picked out in his life. These were things which he was fighting for, and that's what it was driving his life before he met with Jesus. And I suppose we could add into that as well things like how much money we have, or what possessions we've got, what sort of car we drive, or where we live, or the people you mix with, all these sorts of things. But that's what the world values. But Paul then goes on to say, interestingly, that when he met with Jesus and he became a Christian, all that changed. His priorities changed. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through to 9, it says this: I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage or rubbish, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. So, you know, in effect, what Paul did, he took a trip to the tip. He threw away the things of his old way of life, the old values which he used to have, the old priorities, and he wanted to make way for the new life which only Christ could bring to him. He realized that those old things were no longer of value to him, but what they were doing was slowing him down and holding him back. Now, Jesus was his number one priority. So what did he do? He slung it all in the skip. It was just like me throwing my barbecue. It gave me a great sense of satisfaction in a way. As faithful and as wonderful as that barbecue had been, I needed to ditch it because it was no longer doing its job. And Paul did the same. It was a deliberate act and a deliberate choice for Paul. He chose to make Jesus his Lord. So he discarded everything else which was going to hold him back from his relationship with God. And you know, in another place, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through to 17, he takes a similar line, but in terms of old and new. And he says this, either way, he says, Christ's love controls us, since we believe that Christ died for all. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. For he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know of him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old has gone, a new life has begun. The old life has gone, the new life has begun. So, I wonder whether this is the time, while perhaps we're not quite as busy as we usually have been, and we have a little bit more time, perhaps to have a look round at our lives. Perhaps the cupboards of our hearts, to use another analogy. And select out those things of our past that we've been carrying with us that really need to be ditched. Things that are now finished with. Broken or useless, of no value. They're holding us back. They're cluttering our life with God. What we need to do is bring them to him. Confess them. Pray them out over. And bring them to the foot of the cross. Let's make a deliberate choice before God to do that. Perhaps you're even feeling as though you're drifting spiritually. Well, you know, you're not quite where you know you have been in the past. Well, perhaps I wonder whether we're allowing these other things, these worldly values, to creep in and to clutter and thwart the life of God within us. Perhaps the sinful flesh life rather than the spiritual empowered life are out of priorities. We've got them in the wrong balance, and they're having far too much influence on our life with God nowadays. Well, you know, it doesn't matter how long we've been on the Christian road. We could have been on the Christian road for years, but you know, the longer we're on it, sometimes we accumulate more stuff, don't we? But it's good to take a trip to the tip, I believe, on a regular basis, in our prayer time, in our walk with God, to clear out the rubbish which we've accumulated. Even church experiences, which sometimes can clutter our lives and it separates us from God. These things can so easily creep in and they slow us down and entangle us. I believe we need to make a decision to make way for the new, the better, the more effective, the more efficient, a bit like my new barbecue. We will always struggle, I think, when we seek to live life with one foot in the old way of being or in the things where we know we were secure and we miss out on the other. We can't have a foot in both camps. We need to break with that past and we need to step into the new today. Yeah? Maybe you've not given your life to Jesus as yet. Perhaps you need to take your first trip to the tip, which every person has to do when they give their lives to Jesus. It's a time to confess your sin. Confess all those things which we know are in the way, and we need to get them out of the way. We need to give them to Jesus. We need to come to the cross, and we need to surrender. We're saying no to ourselves and yes to Jesus. It's time to clean. You want God to clean you up and to set you in on his new path, in that new place with him, following him. All we need to do is to ask him. We need to ask him to come. So what I'd like to do, if this is your first time, I'd like to invite you to pray a short prayer with me, so that we can give our lives afresh. And, you know, even if we've been Christians for a long time, sometimes it's really good to reiterate our commitment. So just pray this prayer as I lead us in it. So, Lord Jesus, we come to you now. We come to you, Jesus, recognizing that we want to have a new way of being, a new life. We want that new life which you died on the cross for us to have. So, Lord, help us today to take a trip to the tip, to put all the wrong things, the wrong experiences, the wrong choices we've made, the mistakes. Help us to come and throw those at the foot of the cross. Take away all of our sin, all the wrong things which we've said or thought or done. Take them away from us, Lord, as we come and we bring them to you. So, Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us. We'd ask that you'd cleanse us. And we'd ask that you'd come now and fill us. Put your new life within us. Put a fresh way of being into us by your Holy Spirit. We receive you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and our Saviour. And we give our life to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, whether you're new to Jesus or not, new to the Christian life or not, whether you're a long-established follower of Jesus, you know, let's take that trip to the tip more often. And I want to close with some of these words from Hebrews 12, which pick up on a very similar theme and have a similar message. It says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this keeping our eyes upon Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So, Lord Jesus, that's our calling, and that's where we want to be. So, Lord, help us all, I pray, to live lives which are clear of the clutter which stops us from our relationship with you, from going deeper with you. Help us, Lord, to learn from the very physical, practical things in our lives when we do need to clear out the rubbish. Help us to do that with you so that we can live for you as best we possibly can. Help us, Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Rich. We've got our final song. Thank you.
The final song is some old words. It's a hymn called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's easier to sing it than it is to read it, but it's a slightly changed tune. So if you know it from days of yore, it's going to sound just a little bit different, but the words are the same. Here we go. Sorry. Here we go. fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet. Song by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it. Mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither to thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus, help me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He who rescues me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now like a fetter bind the wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Cause the songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet. Song by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it. Mount of God's unchanging love. Shall I close the service?
Yeah.
As we close the service, it was lovely to go and see Wyn Allen yesterday up at her place in Hoban Park, and she has recorded the words of the grace for us to close our service. So if you want to share in these words with Wyn, then please do. Don't forget that the Zoom coffee morning is following this. If you've got the link, that's great. If you haven't, do send us a message to Emmanuel and we'll tie you in. But over to Wyn.
And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.